High school students aren't the only ones who worry about SAT scores. Colleges stress, too.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. California-based liberal arts college Claremont McKenna says a school official cheated on the SATs. Not the test taking, but the test reporting. The admissions official inflated the SAT scores that it sent out to places like U.S. News and World Report, which ranks colleges. For more, we go to Evan Hoover with the Chronicle of Higher Education. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do we know about what happened at Claremont McKenna?
Well, what we know so far is a senior administrator in the Office of Admission there, since 2005, had been misreporting, and that is to say artificially inflating SAT scores that are reported to various agencies and also to U.S. News, where plenty of parents and students would see it. Last night, I heard from U.S. News, and they said that they have asked for more detailed data from the college, and at least as of last night, they did not yet have that, so it would be too soon to tell how or if this might affect the ranking of that college.
Now, why would a school like Claremont McKenna want to inflate its numbers like this?
I can only speculate, and I think, but I'm happy to guess, as in, say, blind dating, right? You meet someone, appearances matter. The same is true of colleges and universities. We can love it, we can hate it, but SAT scores matter to many people. And the inflated score, it may seem strange, it may seem illogical, but it may stem from a very real sense of needing to make the college look better or preserve its place in the pecking order of colleges.
So are these school rankings too important?
Yeah, you know, I think you would find many, many people in higher ed that would say that, just as you would find people that say the SAT score is too important. But I think it's important to look just beyond the rankings. Rankings speak to external audiences, that is, prospective students and their parents. But these scores, before you even get to U.S. News, these scores also matter a great deal in general to folks who work on college campuses, that is, professors, presidents, administrators, and certainly trustees that run colleges. And as one longtime admissions officer told me recently, if you're interested in long-term employment, those numbers can never go down.
Eric Hoover is with the Chronicle of Higher Education. Thanks.
Thanks, Adrian, for having me.
It's currently against the law for Netflix to share your rental history. Today, Netflix is pushing to change that. They're making the case to lawmakers that the Video Privacy Protection Act was passed way before most of the internet even existed. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Ginzer reports.
The Video Privacy Protection Act was signed into law in 1988. It was designed to protect the video rental records of customers. The law says these records can't be shared without a consumer's written consent. Netflix says the law is from an earlier era, which doesn't work today when everybody wants to be connected to their friends. Netflix General Counsel David Hyman told the Senate subcommittee this morning the law is preventing the company from introducing a new Facebook app that instantly tells your friends what you're watching.
Under this law, it is unclear whether consumers can give ongoing consent to allow Netflix to share the movies and TV shows they've instantly watched through our service.
That sounds harmless, right? Mark Rotenberg told the subcommittee, no. He heads the Electronic Privacy Information Center. He says Netflix wants to change the law so that consumers give it blanket permission to share all of their information, and not just with their friends.
It's also to Netflix business partners, and it's also potentially to law enforcement.
Netflix points out that the House has already approved an amendment that would allow consumers' records to be shared automatically. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are down this morning. The Nasdaq is off 0.4%. The S&P is also down about 0.4% this morning. The Dow is down 67 points at 12,586. We've got new housing numbers from Case-Shiller showing that housing prices fell in November in nearly every market in the country.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at InvestNI.com/invest. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
It seems like Starbucks stores are everywhere these days, at least everywhere except India. But that's about to change. From Mumbai, BBC correspondent Nidhi Dutt reports.
Starbucks says its first store will open in Delhi or Mumbai by September this year. Starbucks lags years behind other major American firms like McDonald's and Domino's Pizza that have already established a strong presence in India. John Culver is the regional president of Starbucks. He says they may be late to India, but for his company, this is the right time.
India is a country that we are not currently in that has one of the largest economies that the world has to offer, and that is growing at an accelerated rate. We see that there is a tremendous opportunity here, both in the short term, but more importantly in the long term. We want to make the right investments that is going to enable us to build this business the right way.
But Starbucks isn't navigating India's coffee market alone. It's teaming up with Indian firm Tata Global Beverages in a joint venture. India's middle class has more money to spend than ever before. With bigger disposable incomes, many millions of people are consuming more branded food and beverage items, particularly from international chains. Sales in India's organized coffee market are estimated to be worth $140 million. And it's the growing purchasing power of brand-conscious Indians that Starbucks is looking to tap into. I'm the BBC's Nidhi Dutt for Marketplace.
And finally, a small fish tale. A very small fish tale. 400 fishermen competed in a charity ice fishing contest in Michigan over the weekend. The prize for the biggest fish was $3,000. And the fish that won, a 4.5-ounce perch. The little fish was actually the only fish anyone caught all day. According to the Daily Press of Escanaba, there were other prizes. They had to be given away in a random drawing. Probably not one of those fishing trips you brag about. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The American economy can't quite make up its mind. There's Nebraska doing pretty well.
I think we see just a general unwillingness to bite off more than you can chew.
And there's Nevada, not doing so well.
If you have a basically resourceless state and you're desperate, you're going to take more risk.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Two States, and the story of Election 2012, The Real Economy. Marketplace's special coverage next time. It's from APM, American Public Media.